This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
This is Reset. I'm Michael Puente, in for Sasha Ann Simons. When you think of Santa Claus, what's the image that comes to mind? Is it a chubbier, older guy with white hair, a white beard, and wearing a bright red suit? Probably. And that's because for so many of us, that image has been ingrained ever since we first saw the popular Coca-Cola ads that ran on TV and in print for decades. But here's a fun fact you may not know. That Santa image doesn't hail from Atlanta, where the pop company is produced. It actually comes from Chicago, the Wrigley Building, to be exact. Here to explain is Reset's What's That Building contributor and favorite architecture sleuth, Dennis Rotkin. He's also a real estate reporter for Crane Chicago Business. Welcome back, Dennis.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. You know, Dennis, I've always known about the ties between Santa Claus and Coca-Cola, but I had no clue there was a Chicago connection until I read your story. So how is the Wrigley Building involved here?
The Wrigley Building is where Haddon Sundblom had his studio. He was on the eighth floor of the Wrigley Building, and he's the man who from 1931 to 1964, a very long tenure, drew the Santa Claus ads, painted the Santa Claus ads for Coca-Cola. So he's really the person who cemented that image, the man you described, heavy, cherry cheeks, red nose, red suit, white fur. Haddon Sundblom is the one who really cemented that image in our heads, though he didn't invent it.
Right. So he did it right there in the Wrigley Building, right on Michigan Avenue.
From 1931 to 1964, for over three decades.
So did Sundblom's version look exactly like the one I described a moment ago, or were there some differences?
That's really the version that he stuck with throughout the years. It's Santa Claus goes back for centuries, and when you look early depictions, he looked more like a monk. He's based on a monk, Bishop Nicholas, in what's now called Turkey. And so you often saw him thinner, like an observant monk. You might have seen him dressed in green, white, sometimes in animal prints. Mm-hmm. But there were also images of him in red, riding a horse, often in a red cape, riding a horse.
Yeah.
But then in the 1830s, this image of this kind of rotund man with cherry cheeks and a red suit, that becomes very popular because that's the idea that people get first from the poem that we think of as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and also from drawings from a political cartoonist named Thomas Nast. Right. They start sort of popularizing this image, but you still see other things. I said in the article, there was an L. Frank Baum book, The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus, where he's in a green outfit with leopard spotted fur. So it hasn't really settled. And then in 1925, Coke starts connecting itself to Santa at Christmas, and this image starts to congeal. And then in 1931 is when Haddon Sundblom takes over, and his version sort of really becomes what we have in our heads.
I didn't realize there was no such thing as a chubby monk at the time. There's got to be at least one
chubby
monk.
There may have been some chubby monks. So, he was depicted as the thin kind.
I just want to make sure, you know, Dennis, that, you know, Sundblom, he didn't invent the Santa Claus character, right? So he, you know, you talked a little bit about somewhat of the origins, but he didn't invent Santa.
I think what we could say is that he was the curator of the Santa Claus image that became so popular because, you know, again, there are all these publishers with different images of Santa, but he comes in when mass advertising is really starting. And Coca-Cola was, of course, one of the biggest brands in America. So it's his image that really gets pulsed out to people by the thousands. So I think maybe call him the curator of the image. He also sort of helped to evolve it because he's doing it from the 30s into the 60s, and it becomes a more modern image in the latter part of his tenure.
So we touched upon it a little bit about Coca-Cola, about their involvement in it. When did it start for Coke, when they started getting involved in this?
In 1925 is really when they start using Santa Claus in their ads. They get serious about it in the 1930s. They were based, so Coke, as you mentioned, was based in Atlanta. Their advertising firm was in St. Louis. It was a firm called Darcy. And they were with Darcy because Darcy was involved with Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis, so another beverage. The head of Darcy's Coke account sends an art director to Chicago. They were using a different artist every year, and they weren't all that happy with what they had. They described one Santa just a couple of years before Haddon Sunblum's first as looking mean, and you sure don't want Santa to look mean. So they end up in Haddon Sunblum's studio in the Wrigley Building, and this art director sort of says, well, this is the kind of thing we're after. And according to Sunblum, in a later article, he said, you know, so I sort of dashed off some drawings. I knew they were in a hurry, and they ended up using exactly what I drew in the ads. But then in subsequent years, he's working on it more to sort of create this image. But Coke has ever since been connected with Christmas, mm-hmm. or tried to connect itself, I should say, with Christmas via advertising.
So I was wondering, how did they come up with that image of a chubbier, full white beard image of Santa Claus that we know and love today? How much did Coke play a role in that?
Well, I think part of what's happening is that they're synthesizing all the different images that are out there. There are people who will tell you that Santa is wearing a red suit in the Coke ads because Coke's color was red. But there's all sorts of information from Coke saying, no. Santa was wearing red before we came along. But that's part of what they're doing is they're taking all these images of Santa. They're making him more friendly. And when Sunblum is working on his drawings later, probably not that first year, he goes back to Clement Moore's poem from the 1820s, the one we called 'Twas a Night Before Christmas, A Visit from St. Nicholas. And he looks at the description of the dimples and the cherry nose and the belly that shakes like a bowl full of jelly. And he sort of turns those details into his depiction.
You know, I don't know if I should mention this, but Dennis right now has on a red, almost Hawaiian shirt on. So you're almost like a Hawaiian type Santa right now, Dennis. So
the white beard does that's for sure.
So tell us a little bit more about Haddon Sunblum. He was born and raised in the Midwest. So what else can you tell us about him?
Really interesting guy. He's born in 1899 in Muskegon, Michigan. His mother dies when he's young. His father moves the family to the Austin neighborhood of Chicago. He graduated from Austin High School, which is, the building is still there, though under a different name. He's working construction. His father was working class. He's working construction, but he's got this artistic ability. So while doing the construction jobs, he takes classes at the Armor Institute, which is now called IIT. He takes classes at the YMCA. He takes classes at the Art Institute as well. And he then just works his way into the commercial art field that is super popular in Chicago because at the time, Chicago is one of the capitals, if not the capital of advertising in America before it all gets taken up by New York. And it's all print advertising at the time, of course, or radio, but there's no TV. So these commercial artists are in great demand to draw an image of whatever your ideal character is, whether it's a man in a suit or Santa Claus in a red suit.
So move over Mad Men over there in New York, yeah, you know, Chicago.
Exactly.
Chicago's right there up there with you. So this is Reset. I'm Michael Puente in for Sasha Ann Simons, and you're listening to our regular What's That Building series with Dennis Rotkin. Today, Dennis has put a holiday spin on things. He's walking us through how the Wrigley Building downtown is tied to the original image of Santa Claus that we're all familiar with. So yeah, you were talking about it went a very long time, this recurring Coca-Cola partnership. So did Sunblum have to sort of get a little bit more creative though over the years in changing the image a little bit?
He did. It starts to look more modern. He also incorporates other characters. One of the things I love is briefly, Santa is accompanied by Sprite Boy, who is a kid working at a soda counter, like in the 1950s. And this is before Coca-Cola has a drink called Sprite. He's created this character, and then later they use it as a brand name. So that would be a kid in, you know, like a white cafeteria hat. He has children from the neighborhood. He uses dogs from the neighborhood. He originally was working with a neighbor. He had a neighbor, Ted Prentice, who was heavy and was his model. And then Prentice dies in 1959, and Sunbloom becomes his own model. He's drawing from the mirror for about the next 5 years.
I saw somewhere where he painted a picture of Santa, but since he was looking at himself, his belt buckle was backwards.
Which is really hard to believe because he's this technical artist. He's this commercial artist.
Yeah.
Not that I think it's not true. It's just sort of, it's interesting to think that he would make a mistake like that when his whole business, whether drawing Santa or these other characters we'll talk about, it was his business to get it right. And this is something that evaded his attention.
Okay, so I do got to ask you this question because even after this gig ended, you know, Sunbloom completed one more drawing of Santa's suit. And, you know, kids out there and people listening, this is more of an adult nature type question. There was one that he painted was a little bit risque, and that was for Playboy.
Playboy magazine, yeah. So he's done with, or Coke is done with him in 1964. And at this point, again, he was born in 1899. He's in his mid-60s. He's mostly retired, but he comes out of retirement in 1972 to draw a Playboy cover, which is a woman in a Santa suit, and she's sort of opening the Santa suit so you can see what's inside. It's on the cover, so it's not a filthy image, but it is... From our standards today, it's a little gross, but it's a blonde woman with a Santa hat and a Santa suit. And so to me, that makes it such a 20th century Chicago story. He's working in advertising, which we were a capital of. He's self-taught, essentially. He didn't have a degree, but had all those classes. And he becomes this national figure. There are Christmas ornaments made out of his drawings. There are all sorts of other memorabilia made out of his images of Santa. And then he retires, or is retired, and he comes out of retirement to draw a half-naked woman for Playboy. I mean, how much more 20th century Chicago can you be?
There you go. My cheeks are getting a little red now talking about that. So what other images, you know, besides this Playboy one, do you think people might recognize?
Well, there are a lot of summer ads for Coke that he also did, of women in bathing suits, people at beaches throwing around beach balls, that sort of thing. There's a great U.S. Marines recruiting poster from World War II that he did. I already mentioned Sprite Boy. There was also this poster that apparently was very popular in the 40s and 50s, urging families to pray before meals. That was for Quaker Oats. And also for Quaker Oats, he updated the Quaker Man. The Quaker character who's associated with Quaker Oats had been around for decades, I think since the 1870s. And in 1957, Haddon Sunbloom is brought on to update him, to add color to the image that was on the packages and make him look just a little more modern.
Well, we've been speaking with Dennis Rockin, Crane's Chicago business residential real estate reporter and Reset architecture guru. Thank you, Dennis, and happy holidays.
Thanks, Michael.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely